Well, we're talking about talking. We're not talking during davening, but talking as a way of davening. As a way of davening, speaking to the Borei Olam in such a personal way. It's about this, the sugya is about this. We're learning Eshbach Lefanav Sichi. In this edition, it's Kuf Nun Vav in the middle of the page. So if you were following last week, it's where your sticky is. Kuf Lama Gimel. Either Kuf Nun Vav or Kuf Lama Gimel. This parak is about the difficulties that we often face when it comes to Hezbollahs, where we're not finding words. We're not finding words. And Rabbi Nachman, the other tzaddikim, tell us over and over and over that the ikur is to come. And being there with the intention to be able to speak, and if it means time after time after time, but keeping up with it and trying one's best, then Hashem will open a person's mouth. And that's the teaching of L'cha Amar Libi that we've been talking about. But one has to be very patient. It could take a long time. You have to be very patient. Shiflus vanavan, you have to be very humble. What does humility have to do with this? Because when a person's humble, they don't expect an immediate answer. That's just when you speak to somebody who is not humble, everything has to be what they want right away. That's just, that comes with that a certain arrogance and an impatience. But a humble person, a person of shiflus, arichas apayim, anava, these midas go together. That person is able to be patient, to wait. It doesn't require A, an immediate answer from Hashem to his tefillas, and B, he doesn't expect that everything is going to necessarily be just fine immediately. You can wait. Adas shlo ani medaber. Kani lo yachlo daber. To have the humility to say that I'm not on my own, I am terribly limited. I'm terribly handicapped when it comes to doing this, to engaging his body. This I have problems. It's very hard for me. I can't do this, Hashem, without your help. Hashem svasai tiftach. I can't do this. Now that takes again a certain humility and patience. Maybe it's something in my life. Maybe I haven't been worthy enough to be able to pour forth the kind of tefillas, you know, that other people. I don't know, but I'm not worthy. I don't have this schus, but I need your help, Hashem. I can't do it. Yishlach li the libi. This person who is humble asks Hashem, I can't, I know that I'm unworthy, but there's nothing that's more important to me than having this relationship and being able to communicate. So I need your help. So I'm asking you, Yishlach li, send me words, the dibur pi, dibur min hashamayim, to help me to begin to speak. Most of the letters, or a significant percentage of the letters in Rabbi Nassim's, in the Olam Truf, in Rabbi Nassim's letters are to his son, Rabbi Yitzchak. We know very little about his son. But judging from the letters, there was an unbelievable kesher between the father and the son. And it's clear from the letters that the son was struggling with many things. You see that in the letters. Not necessarily the kind of things that we are in 2021, but it's not like he was just signed on to the program and everything was going smoothly. And Rav Nosson gives him a lot of chizik. So there's a letter. Michtav Mibno, Rabbi Yitzhak, Shek Shaholech Lezbodeid. So the son wrote to the father, Rabbi Yitzhak wrote to his father, Rabbi Nosson, that when he tries to do his bodeid, it's any ochel of tach his pif. Any ochel of tach, he can't open his mouth. This is the son of Rabbi Nosson. So all of Rav Nosson is just, if we think about just from the parenting perspective, all Rav Nosson was working for in his entire life was his bodhus, right? That was his whole thing, was his bodhus. And his son is writing to him. He's just like, no, Dad, I'm having a hard time. I can't do it. So just that gives us all some chizik, and that's, I'm having a hard time. And yochel tachas piv. So the fact that the son wrote this, and the fact that Rabbi Nosson was not in the slightest bit embarrassed to publicize this, and that the chassidim had no issue publishing any of this, there's something special about that, just for starters. That's not how things usually work in our little world.
What kind of struggles did he have?
With his boat of this?
No, I'm saying so it was just with...
I don't know. It sounds like there's some other things. I don't want to jump to any conclusions. But you see from the responses of the father that there's stuff that's not, there's stuff that was going on in his life that the father was trying to help him with, but it's not clear to me what exactly were those issues. But it wasn't like he had things going smoothly, that's for sure. So Unalo Aviv, so what was Rav Nosson's answer? Shekein Matzino Etzel David HaMelech Al Hashem. So Rav Nosson said, you know, you're in a good league, you're with good people, because you think that David HaMelech just blasted out those tilim, and that his davening wasn't for him. Shaliyachal of Toch Piv. Avol David, he says, the greatness of David HaMelech was not only his the tilim that he said. It's Avol David Hayachacham Ma'od Bavodas Hashem Yisbarach. David HaMelech was a big chacham in Avodas Hashem. V'lo holach misham, rak yishev es atzmo lefnei Hashem. We see from Sukkim, both in Navi and in Tehillim, that David HaMelech did not always have Tehillim flowing from his mouth. But what he did have was the seichel and the determination to not ever, ever let up. He was relentless, the davening, relentless. We see from many psukim in Navi and in Tehillim that David HaMelech was krechtzing and was crying and was calling out and was begging. Which we see from many psukim that David HaMelech was saying, my heart is shut. My heart is closed. I'm not feeling anything. Until Hashem Yisbarach helped him, and he spoke such words. Zemrumas, but pasuk, this is hinted at in the pasuk in Navi, where it says, "Vayeshev David lufnei Hashem." So the Mefarshim and the Sfarim are wondering, like, what does that mean? Vayeshev David lufnei Hashem. On the throne, he was the king, so he sat on a throne. There are other psukim that say on the kisei lifnei Hashem. So what does it mean by yeshev lifnei Hashem? All of us are sitting lifnei Hashem. So what does it mean by yeshev lifnei Hashem? He was sitting before God. So klema kishahalach l'shevus lifnei Hashem da'im l'zbodei. So in Breslov that means that yeshev lifnei Hashem means that he showed up for his bodhis. He came. He sat down. He didn't come with the words. He came with himself. So
not from the Russian over again. He settled himself.
Also, Yishuv means to settle himself. But Yeshuv Douglas Hashem Klamar, Shahalach Hashem Hashem, Behindless Bode, Sham Yishuv Esatzmo. He didn't come with the words. He came and he sat down. And the purpose of showing up, even without the words, was to settle himself and to be able to come to Diburim. Well, Devar of Hem Kiperish Chazal, and that's what the Yushami says. When it says, Vayeshev Dov Nei Hashem, Chazal says, She Yoshev Atzmo, or Yishev Atzmo Betfilo. Now, that's not the usual way when it comes to davening. It would normally would say what? Omad. He stood before Hashem. Stam davening is Amida, and you would expect it to say that he stood before Hashem as davening. Here it says, and this is why everybody's picking up on it, here it says he sat down before Hashem. So that's why it means not just physically sitting down, it means that sometimes in order to daven, it requires this lasheves, and liyashavis atzmo. And that's what he did. Obialkut Shimoni, Kosav Shiyashav Daito Alav, and the Alkut says befeirush that he worked on bringing himself to a place of Yishuv Hadas, settled, to be in a state where he'd be able to daven. It didn't just flow from his mouth. Sheyishav Daito Alav, the Kivin Libo Betfilasa. And he prepared himself. Hechinas Libo. He prepared. This is what we're talking about. Mechenu Omer, Tochen Libam, Takshiv Oznecha. We prepare our hearts. We do our best to prepare. And then hopefully we'll be able to daven and Hashem will listen. Kfiya Muvel El, Medivra Rabbeinu. Shekshodom Bo, Mefarish Yichos Lefne Hashem. Hashem is Baruch Sholech, Belibo Tainus, Amachshoves, Shayodom, Hukivyochel. So we learned last week Rabbi Nachum's explanation of the Gemara on the word Lam Netzeach. How Hashem love is when we defeat him. And we learned that that means, the Gemara says, that defeating Hashem is that it doesn't seem that we're going, that the person doesn't feel, but doesn't seem to the person that he's going to be able to daven, and he's not succeeding. And Hashem wants us to be victorious, to persevere. And kivyochel, he will then concede that due to your sincerity and your perseverance, I'm going to help you to daven. I'm going to help your heart open and your mouth to open. And that's what David HaMelech was all about. And that the person will find that he has tainus in the machshavas, things to talk about and thoughts to express that he couldn't before. And he's menasech Hashem Yisbarach. Tzarech ladas, shalefi hakol, tzarech levakesh, Hashem svasai tivtach, ufi agiti lasecha, which has become a part of our davening, zakeni lashevas lefanecha. We shouldn't take this for granted, just because we're davening our whole lives. We shouldn't take it for granted that it's an unbelievable schus to be able to sit before Hashem and to daven to him. And to ask Hashem, I should have the schus to be able to sit in your presence and to find this yishuv hadas. To sit nochach b'nei Hashem. Shlach li dibur mimon kodshachem and Hashemayim, I'm asking you to send me dibur, to send me words. B'tfila zu yaitzer hadam kelim l'kablus adibur min Hashemayim. When a person speaks in this way, he's making himself into a kli. He's creating kelim, he's preparing kelim in order to be able to receive diburim from Hashem, to be able to receive feelings and diburim from Hashem. You make yourself into a kli. Yaduhu peyushu shel Baal Shem Tov al haposik, tefila la'ani ki yatov, lefnei Hashem yishpach sicho, it says in Pasik, a tefila of the poor man, we spoke about that a little bit last week, a tefila la'ani, which Chazal says the highest davening, tefila la'ani, a prayer of the poor person, ki yatov. Yatov is translated usually as this person, this poor person is faint. He's faint. He's like fainting. He's passing out. He's weary. He's overwhelmed from his sorrows. From his sorrows, from his poverty, from his sorrows. So tefillah kiyatov. And then it says, Hashem yishpay sicha. And he pours forth his words, his words, his plea before Hashem. So the Baal Shem Tov asked, it says ki yatov, mashma shaha ani misate betfilosa. The word yatov implies that he is already davening. Yatov, that he's, like we say, like an atifus talis, that he's wrapped up, he's overwhelmed. So what is that? Why is it say kiyatov and also v'lefnei Hashem yishbach sicha? Umavar ha-Baal Shem Tov, shekesh'ani mis'atev b'tfila. So the Baal Shem Tov explains that when the poor person, first he's mis'atev b'tfila. First he acknowledges his impoverishment, his emptiness. It doesn't just mean for money. And ani we spoke about last week, it means for whatever. So first, the ani, the poor person, feels, acknowledges his emptiness. he wraps himself, so to speak. He feels faint with that emptiness and that need and that dependency upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that state, please Hashem, I'm turning to you. Help me. I can't continue. I'm asking you to help me to pour words before you, to pour my pleas before you. That's what the Baal Shem Tov taught. Dova Baruhu Shitzarach Lespalu Levakish Rachmim Sheniskel Hespalu. Like we have from the Tzaddikim, like it's printed in most of the Siddurim, at least the Nusach Svar Siddurim, but many Ashkenazi Siddurim also. The Rebbe Elimelech's Tefillah before davening. It's printed in, I think it's in the Art School Siddur. I'm pretty sure. So there you have the Rebbe Elimelech's Tefillah before davening. Tefillah is to help oneself daven. There are many, many, many Tefillahs, Nakuda Tefillahs, this Nakuda of helping oneself to come to Tefillah. And the person davens in his own words to come to this. Rabbi Yochanan said that a person should always daven for rachamim, that he will be helped with his tefillah, to strengthen him in his tefillah, and that there shouldn't be any tzar milamal, there shouldn't be any kitrugim, any malochim, any forces that are fighting against his tefillahs. That the doors should be open and he should be able to daven. There shouldn't be any forces that are holding his tefillahs from ascending, from first of all ascending in his own mouth, and then to Shemayim. Pirush Rashi, she yisayuhu malache hasharos levakish rachmim. But you know this is a very controversial subject in halacha. Appealing to malachim for help. We're not going to that right now. I've spoken about that over the years. You know, like we say by slichus, and the machnisi rachmim is. It's a huge debate about that. It made into most of the slichsim, but there was tremendous opposition to Malachi Rachman, the Maral, and others that they were against saying such tefillahs, appealing to a malach, speaking to a malach, and asking for help. But Rav Nosson says, "Kadam sarach levakish rachmim shitil eschus." I'm sorry, Pirush Rashi shisayu malachi hasharis levakish rachmim. Rashi says over there, and there's a famous Rashi that supports the view that one can appeal to a malach for some help. Rashi says that the malach Hashem should help. Levakish racham, help me. Shloyulo mastina milamala, and if you're not going to help me, then don't get in my way. Like, don't give me a hard time. All right, we're not going to the whole subject of malachim. So that's a different Indian. Ki odam tzarch levakish racham. The issue is that a person has to ask rachamim. Ki odam tzarch levakish rachamim. Shetilo aschus levakish rachamim. We have to ask for Hashem's rachamim, that we should have the schus to ask Hashem for rachamim. It's a tremendous schia to be able to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see that in many places of the Nusach of Tefillah. In the Yom Nirayim, you see that we spoke about this last week, you see that the Shlich Tzibur is asking for rishus. But it's not just the Shlich Tzibur. Rav Yoshe Beis spoke about this quite often when it comes to davening, that really one needs to have a matir to be able to approach Hashem. We shouldn't take that for granted. You just walk into Hashem. It's not like that by Lahavdol, by any human king. You just feel like walking in, you walk in. So in a certain way, all of the davening that leads to Shemoneh Esrei, all of the Pesukim de Zimra and the Brachas that leads to Shemoneh Esrei is to find a way to be allowed entrance to come into the king by Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei is already different than the rest of davening Shemoneh Esrei. That's when you're in. Without going through the whole conversation about the Olam is the world, but that's when you're in. And what's all the stuff going on? What's going on before? So we need permission to enter. Until finally, the last words that we say before going down, is we say Hashem Svasai Tiftach Ufiyah Gitlas. But you need to have a matir. You need something that will permit this, that will allow you to do this. The same way that he explained when it comes to learning Torah, both by davening and by learning Torah, we shouldn't take learning Torah for granted. That you and I have not only the ability, but it's a mitzvah for us, and it's a huge thing for us to be able to have access to Hashem's mind. We shouldn't take that for granted. A guy's not allowed to learn Torah. we have such a schus that we're able to learn Torah. So I'm not going to, when he said it goes on all the time, I'm not going to or whatever, but he doesn't have access that we have in any way to our learning. So when we say Birchas HaTorah in a certain way, the bracha that we make in the morning of Birchas HaTorah is also, we're asking Hashem with Birchas HaTorah, it's a matir to allow me entrance into this magnificent world that's called Yot Torah. Because I shouldn't take that for granted, that I could just sit down and open up a sefer. Just chus. Who am I? What, am I worthy to sit and to learn Hashem's Torah? Am I worthy to come to talk to Hashem? Who am I? I'm not worthy. So we have ways in our davening of asking Hashem help, that I should be worthy to daven, and that I should be worthy to learn. It's a tremendous chus to learn in the daven. It's not bullshit. Yeah?
What I have a hard time with is when I say to Hashem, I can't take it anymore. First of all, Hashem would know that already, no? And second of all, isn't it like creating a negative self-fulfilling prophecy? Shouldn't I be saying more like, you're putting me through this situation for a reason and help me have the clarity to understand and respond properly?
Yeah,
and,
yeah. So I don't want to go right now into what would be the, whether these type of words are appropriate or not appropriate. This thought that Hashem already knows, we spoke about that a little bit last week, and that, if that's the case, then all of davening is meaningless. If it's just, then why do I have to speak about anything if Hashem knows? So I'm not going to that right now. We spoke about it a little bit. There's much more to discuss about that. But what Hashem wants more than anything is that we should be honest. And if you feel that you can't take it anymore, then you could say to Hashem, Isbarach, maybe this is not the best choice of words for Baruch Shalom, and I apologize if you don't like Jews to talk this way. But I got to tell you the truth, I can't take it anymore. So you just need to put a couple of words before it, like to just talk that way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like that, to have that kind of a, it's a little bit of a chutzpah to talk that way, a little bit. But Hashem wants us to be honest, and but it would be nice to have just a little bit of a thing to say. Look, maybe I shouldn't talk this way, but I have to tell you, you want me to be honest with you. I feel like I can't take it anymore. To say I can't take it anymore, it's always better to say I feel like I can't take it anymore. That's how I feel. Because Hashem will say to you, oh, you could take it. So don't say that you can't take it anymore. I could prove to you that you can take it. So it's not so good to go with that mahalach. Better to say, I said, listen, you know, but I feel like I can, I feel like I'm not managing this. I feel like I'm not managing it. That's how it feels to me. That's what it seems to me. But it's not so good to say, I can't take this anymore. But even then, if a person, if it just comes out, say that Hashem's happy that we talked to him straight. But it's safer to say, I feel like I can't take it. You understand the difference? It's a big difference to talk that way. Yeah. So we're not going to the whole thing, you know, of speaking to Malachim. That's not for now. The Iker is, Adam Tzarech Rak Lahachin Eslibo. Come, prepare yourself, ask Hashem to have the schus, ask Hashem to help you to speak. And if it means, again, repeating over and over, I'll get back to this again, because he will repeat this over and over again. Because this is not a regular sefer. This is not a sefer that's just a matter of informing us and reading something interesting and learning something new. It's an avoda. And therefore, when it comes to avoda, we need to exercise and to repeat and to go over. And it means Hashem, all of us to go out and to work on it. It's not just to inform us. Adam tzarech rak lahachin es libo, v'zayitin l'Hashem zbarach diburim k'mesh akosel v'adam archeilev, u'me Hashem ma'ane loshen, as we spoke about last week. Sheidei, shemeichin es libo, that's the meaning of l'adam marcheilev, just to try to come and to bring forth as much as you can, your heart to bring with you. And Hashem ma'ane loshen, sheidei shemeichin es libo, b'kisu from rich sinus, if you want to, you try and you come, and you don't just say, forget it, I can't, it's not shy. Then Hashem, it's not nice and long, Hashem Rachma Diburim Umanalash. And Hashem will give the person Diburim, and will give the person what to say to be able to speak. Har Beitonim, so in my safe it's Kufnan Ches, Har Beitonim Sheshkshehem, Oimdim Yashim Kach, Bidamama, Bechdelias, Nochap, Ne Hashem. Many people are complaining that when they try this, all that we've spoken about, and they come and they sit like David, Vayeshev, David, and Hashem. Oh, it skips it the next thing.
Yeah, it was a paragraph on the page before.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The Chavadish, hopefully they'll put out a unified. No, I guess so. There's also very Breslov way of doing things. You know, there's something sweet about it, but it's annoying. So harbe tonim shekshehem oimdim v'yoshim kach b'demama. So many people say, so listen, that they have a taina, they come and they try. I came and I want to feel that I'm here with you, Hashem. Nochef b'nei Hashem. Lichsof l'skageya, I love to long for you, and so on. Heimotzim es machshavaseh mishoytetois v'mechezois v'chaykim ha'oid. They find their minds wandering to all kinds of distant places. Umuma ein b'yadim. They have no yeshiva das, and their minds are wandering all over the place. Yesh nadavishu agarim ha'ikar l'kosh yezeh. What's the main cause of this? Now it's interesting because he will write only a sentence or two about the main cause of this problem, which is really a serious problem. But he doesn't really go into it now. He does later on, we'll see in the cipher, more. And the next parak is really the next parak I hope in all of our swarm. The next parak is about this. But even there, he's not finished with the topic. This is really the main difficulty that people have. Because we have to ask ourselves, why is it that when it comes to other things in life, I can concentrate, more or less, some people better, some people worse, but I could put in 10, 15, 20 minutes, I could concentrate. People could do it for half an hour. I could concentrate and I could hold a conversation with people. I'm good at that. But Davka, when it comes to Hezbarudos, when it comes to sitting and talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, davening Hezbarudos, Davka is guidance. Why is that? Why is that? L'fam hu hasiba yikaris l'diburim shen amagim bi'ul l'pizu ha-machshava ha-shayit l'avu l'olam yitzarim. So it's the question is actually, why am I having a hard time saying words? Why do I have a hard time b'chlal, like being in this place of tefillah? Why is it that Davke, when it comes to a time to daven, there's such a pizur machshavas? I'm so scatterbrained. Everything is all over. I can't even focus. And that's even when it's regular davening with a siddur, where there were tzaddikim who were kind enough to give us the words that we could focus on. They're right in front of you. But the mind is all over the place. What's the problem? So it means that there's a problem with davening. It's a very, very deep problem with davening. Davening that they didn't talk to us about in school. And even as adults, it's not like we see this discussed in the Svarim. But the main problem is, she says, "V'vadei shemai sezadnu." Okay, the first thing is, the classic religious answer to this is, it's mai sezadnu. Which is my mother, Shishibel's, her answer, explanation for everything in life that doesn't go well, it's Masasutin. And Masasutin means just Satan is at work. Because davening is so important, so the Satan comes to shtip. Right? This I go, everything that wasn't going well, it's Masasutin. Masasutin is not going well. So, Kate said, you're talking, Shalim Yochel, Dabim Chaveir, Sicha Aruch. How else could you explain the fact that I can sit and talk to my friend for hours? I'm sitting and talking to him for hours. As Diba Piv Machshavta, I'm paying attention, I'm responding, I'm focused. But when it comes to any time it comes to talking to Hashem, you're all over. So the answer is Maisasot. That's a very, very unsatisfying answer. Not that there isn't truth to that. But that cannot be the main problem. Ma'aseh Satan. It's true that because davening is so important that the Eitz Hara, the Satan, whatever you want to call him, comes to get involved in the shter. That's for sure. But why is it davka when it comes to davening, the Satan has such success with his malacha? Unbelievable success with davening, probably. I would imagine that davening is the Satan's favorite time of the day, because he's unbelievably accomplished when it comes to davening. When Satan comes to us with all kinds of avarice, we're pretty good. No, sometimes we mess up, but we're pretty good. But by davening, he's got like a high batting percentage when it comes to davening. And he doesn't have to work that hard. He doesn't have to work that hard. What he wants is to do some major aveira, so he has to come with all kinds of things, all kinds of taivas and tainas. He has to take out like the best stuff that he has to get you and I to do an aveira. But when it comes to like not concentrating on davening, to drifting by davening, it's just like, and it keeps on going on to everybody else. It's like ding, 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 ding. It's for him. The sudden, when it comes to davening, it's a mechai. He has so much of an easy time by davening. To get somebody off track by davening doesn't take much. By some people, but most people, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. It doesn't have to be like you hear a car crash outside of shul, God forbid. It doesn't have to be anything like dramatic. You mean whatever. In the head, all the stuff that's in the head, whatever. Things that you wouldn't even normally think about because it's so silly. You ever ask yourself, like, why am I thinking about this during davening? I wouldn't think of this when I'm not any other time. It's so silly. I don't even dream this. It's so silly. Then Davka here, it isn't. I'm in the middle of Ashrei or middle of Shemini Esrei. Like, you know, some friend of mine, what he did to me 45 years ago or something. So what is that? So there is a teretz, of course. And it was mentioned last week. What's the real teretz? No? What's the real teretz is? Why isn't it that davening is the hardest thing in the world? What do you think, Adam?
I don't think that it would just be, you have to be in a place where you're really open to be a makama. You have to go open to that place.
That's very hard. But what makes that hard? We have to go right there.
Words that we don't necessarily understand in the process, which also makes it very
hard. Say that, not the words of the Siddur, even his Bodhidus, your own words. What's underneath that? What's deeper than that? Okay, it takes a certain vulnerability. People are uncomfortable. People are uncomfortable. I have somebody over here on the Zoom.
We don't really think we're talking to Hashem.
Yeah, that's the underlying thing. What Ezra said. The underlying thing is, how do I know for sure that he's here, Bachlal? Like when I'm talking to you, I get feedback, right away. I was sitting and talking. I'm looking at you. And by the way, if while I'm talking to you, you look at your phone, I get annoyed. How do we know he's not looking at his phone the whole time? I mean, I'm just saying that, of course. But like,
everyone else
seems to be doing that, yeah. The head of the Bereshit's not on his phone. FaceTiming, Twittering, I don't know what he's doing. How do we know the Bereshit's not on his phone? He made this stuff, I guess he has it. How do we know he's not doing that? So how do we know that? How do I know that I am sitting with a shutuf, the Almighty, but I'm sitting with him, and he is looking at me, eye to eye. He is totally focused on me. He cares about what I'm saying. Now I know that when I talk to my friend, I know that I feel that right away. That there's nobody else in the world. It's not just because of physically I feel that. Deep inside of myself, that there's nothing else right now going on in our lives except this conversation.
The physical barrier is huge.
It can't be overcome. I mean, you can't cross over that. La yirani adam v'chai. We can't see God. So the deepest underlying problem in tefillah is not that we don't believe in Hashem's existence. Hashem exists. But this inyan of Hashem, putting everything aside and just sitting with me, and how do you do that with other people at the same time? And just sitting with me, and there's nothing else in all worlds except me, you're a humble servant, and sitting with you, and you actually care, like my best friend, you love me, you care about me, you're worried about me, you understand me, you want to hear what I'm talking about. All of this stuff that we take for granted with people who we're connected to, when it comes to davening, it's not pashut. It's not pushing. It's a more high.
it's a little bit harsh. I mean, the fact, like, in Chavero, if you had the same conversation with your friend every day, you would stop talking to them. Also, like, it's the same thing three times a day, the same thing. It's
not that makes it, it's that not makes, a, right, that makes it even harder. Right.
It's not that we don't live, it's just that.
Right.
We makes just said this 4 hours.
Yeah, so, like, isn't he tired of hearing me?
Right. Yeah.
Like you're here again, and I'm saying the same stuff. Like, there are, it seems to be that would be that's the deepest, that's the deepest challenge when it comes to tefillah, both when it comes to Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv and when it comes to Hezbollahs. Now the difference is here with Hezbollahs, it's much easier to feel. It's much easier to feel. It's easy to feel. It's personal. It's not somebody else's words.
And you choose
the topic, right? And the place and the topic and so on. So it's easier. But at the end of the day, if a person does not feel that he's being heard and that he's not able to hear any responses, when I talk to my friend, if I'm having this conversation for an hour with my friend about something that's going on in my life, in the course of the hour, I'm going to hear like different things from my friend, even if it's just, oh, I'm so sorry, or I wish I could help, but I'm hearing something, or that happened to me too, what can I do for you, or, you know, I'll tell you something that the Vart I heard, something, epic, something, but you're sitting, you're talking to Hashem, or you're someplace, and you're screaming out, And it's just the wind. All you hear is the wind. And you're sitting on some rock, you know, at the shore, on the beach, and you're sitting out on a rock by yourself in some beautiful place that you found. And you're talking. That goes, oh, what, where? And if there's even a little suffix about whether or not anybody's listening, then you could fall into a place of terrible galus hadibur, which is what's happened to davening in modern times. To a large extent, when it was much more for our grandparents, that and great grandparents, that feeling of Nochach Pnei Hashem was much more palatable than it is, much more tangible than it is now than in our generation. It was something that the typical Jew, even people who are not always careful with mitzvahs, but that feeling of being Nochach Pnei Hashem was, that you're in that place with Hashem and that he's listening was something that's was much more easily attainable in earlier times. This for us now, no, it was never easy, but for us now, it's like it's very, very, very hard. It's very hard, especially me think, I just had a message this morning from a wonderful machanech from out of town, who was one of the boys that I had in yeshiva. He's a great guy. He's a great rebbe. And he just left me a message this morning about how part of his job is that he has to daven with the boys also in the morning. And the boys, they like learning. You know, he learns with them in the afternoon, and it's enjoyable. He has super good nefesh, and it's good. He said davening is absolute torture. That was this morning. Last night, I had a message. It was interesting because they're in the same town, out of town. Just happened to be from a girl. Also, with this inyan of davening with her class. That they're great girls. A little. I think it was like sixth grade or something. But the davening is not. It's like torture. You know, they want me to make sure, but he's davening. I don't want to be that person. And then when I look at them, they roll their eyes, and they look in the sitter, and then when I look away, they're laughing with each other. And the one, some of the boys that when I look away, they're touching to see with the phone, and you know, whatever. I mean, pretty much like the adults. Pretty much like the adults, except the adults, you know, that they're sophisticated enough that you have to not to do a certain thing in order to keep up your good standing in the community. But now all that we were just talking about the last few minutes is has always been a challenge, but in our times, it's obviously going to be much more of a challenge because nowadays everybody's used to having things answered back and forth, bing, 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 bing. It's not like you're waiting. You used to send a letter. You had to wait. You had to wait sometimes a couple of months till you got a letter back. You didn't get an answer right away. I don't even know how that's. You know, I don't know if there are studies. There must be some studies already being in the work, or maybe in the works, or that have come out. Like how does this all affect impatience, expecting an answer? We used to live in such a way where you would ask for something, and you didn't know when you would get an answer. You know, if you would get an answer, when you would get an answer, if the letter even got there, and when it was getting back, and so on. And then when I was growing up, you made a phone call and you got a busy signal. And what did it mean? There was no, it didn't say who was calling. They had no caller ID. They had no caller ID. You got a busy signal. You called and that noise, that sound was the busy signal. We used to sometimes do that ourselves. Like if somebody called you, they didn't want to hear from you, just you got to make your own busy signal. Because you had no way to find out who it was. There was no caller ID. So you had to say, hey, Maish, is that you? There was no choice. We had no caller ID. So you just had to hear the guy, you know, calling for you. Okay, but you got a busy signal. So you'll try later. You know how many times I get in a day the WhatsApps or different things, and 20 minutes later, the person sends me a question mark. Why do I? This is my whole life is only to wait for your things, your message. I get question marks. You would see on one day how many of these I get. Or in a more polite version, is did you get my message? Like that? Did you? What? Yeah, I did one or two of those. But
people didn't need answers the same way. Like my grandmother, she's not looking for an answer.
Right. She was looking for a time to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what has made it very, very difficult is the need for immediate answers also. Then FaceTime took it to another level. And I have to admit, I enjoy it because I could talk to my kids in Eretz Yisrael and I could see them. It's a fantastic thing. But we can't see Hashem is Baruch. So even when we're going to do the next parak, which is about how we do hear from Hashem, but we'll never see him. That's off limits. Lo yirani adam v'chai. So in a generation, in a time in history when everything is about hearing immediately from and even seeing the other party, not just when you're in the same room, but when the person's in Melbourne or Sydney, seeing the person. And the only one I'm supposed to be talking to every day, Shachas and Chamar, and now they're talking about additional extracurricular talking, is the Ban Shalom who I can never ever hear from or see. This is a tremendous mania when it comes to davening. It's a tremendous mania. Any one of those kids in the class, if they're to be told, okay, I know you've been waiting for this for a while. We're actually having a trip today. We're going to the king's palace, Hashem's palace, and every one of you is going to be able to talk to Hashem in person. You could be sure that every one of those kids would be like really into it and excited. They would be super excited. But they're totally not interested in another round of invisible God, especially if the feeling that the kid has is that, oh, I just spoke Lashon Hara, or I just did some Aveira, and even if God shows up to other people's meetings, he doesn't show up to my meeting. He doesn't come to my meeting because he's not happy with me. He's not happy with me, he doesn't like me, so why would he come to this meeting? He's not my best friend. Why would he be my best friend? My father. You have kids nowadays that can't reach their fathers either. Why would he come? Why would he come? So this is a This is a big, big, big malacha. A big malacha. So he says, "Ahezbra poshit, who sha'odim hamizboidei and a roes hashemizbach." The simple explanation is that when you're in his bodhus or davening, you don't see hashemizbach. B'chtei liskas l'amunu b'chush. Now this forum talk a lot about emunah b'chush, to feel like ki'ilu you're seeing Hashem. We learned the Derech Mitzvah Sech from the Tzemach Tzedek quite a few years ago when we were learning the Sefer Mitzvahs of the Rambam. So we learned pieces from the Tzemach Tzedek on this inyan of emunah, to the point where it's ki'ilu you're seeing with your eyes. And you have from the tzaddikim, from the Bali Musar also, Rabbi Chaskel Levenstein, was almost every one of the Torahs was talking about the Munah b'chush, b'chush. But the bottom line is that you can't see Hashem. There's only so far you can get. You can't see Hashem. And even to come to this Madrega of Munah b'chush, where the Munah is so real to you, and knows that it's so real, it's so clear to you, Tzarech harbe omal v'yegia. You need to work to get to that level of emunah b'chush. You have to work very, very, very hard. Then you have atah reisel adas. But at Har Sinai, there's a lot of special effects. But we don't have those. We don't have any special effects. So to get to that emunah b'chush, to be in a place of emunah b'chush, it requires a tremendous amount of amal v'yigiyah, hard work. Harbe tefilah b'koshi. For that, you have to daven very hard. That I should be able to feel your presence. It should be something which is like I'm seeing it. I feel in such a clear way. And then there are our avayus and yanim get also cause all kinds of interference and blockages and so on. Ukshein hagosha v'idia b'ruash nimtsoim nochach b'nei Hashem parachas hamachshava. When a person does not have this clear and strong feeling of being nochach b'nei Hashem, of sitting together one-on-one with Hashem, then parachas hamachshava. It's very hard to hold on to that, to a thought. It just flies away. Mashiach, anytime you're sitting with your friend, so you have that exchange, and you have that presence that you see and you hear. So bevadei yesh gam b'kocho shel habaldover l'hafriya l'kol dover shabagdusha b'fat l'dover nalakaza. So coming back to Maisa Sotan, certainly the baldover, the Yetzara, is going to have a lot of success when it comes to something which is as great as this and as difficult as this. As great, because there's nothing that's more valuable in establishing a relationship with Hashem, coming to a place of dveikus with Hashem as this kind of davening. And so it's very valuable, and it's very hard because we can't see him and we can't hear him the way that we do people. And so that's a very, very hard, it requires a tremendous amount of work to be able to get past that. And then all of that, together with the reality that we're living in Tav Shin Pei Beis 2021, where the world is altogether Meshiga with seeing and hearing, everything is about seeing and hearing, immediately and clearly and openly. And even if you see something that's not 100% clear, you throw out your phone and get a different phone, especially hard. So we're gonna work on it. Mr. Sham will continue next week, Bez Hashem.